problem. And here's my problem. And if you were here this morning, you probably already know my problem. Because I got a face that I cannot play. I'm not a poker player. Because my face tells the whole story. Amen? And this morning I was struggling. See, I didn't have gross sin in my life. I wasn't contemplating quitting the church or stepping out of the pastorate. None of that. But I was confronted with the reality of God's Word. And to deliver that is a tremendous responsibility. And I was feeling the weight of that, because in order for me to preach a message like this morning, I want to feel like every area of my life is like top notch. I mean, you know, scraping the stars, if you will. But when there's those places in your life, when you're struggling with this thing or that thing or the other thing, you know, the enemy wants to come and say, well, just who are you to think you can give voice to that? And it's in those kinds of moments when you have to realize that I do know who I am in Christ. I'm a child of God. I didn't ask for this job. I don't know if you know that or not. I did not ask for this job. I never said, ooh, pick me, pick me. I was like, mm-mm. But the call of God is without repentance. The call of God, He doesn't ever change that. And just because you have a bad day doesn't mean that you can quit what God's called you to do. Or I'd have been out of here a long, long, long time ago. I'd have never been here to begin with. It's true. But I have come to the realization that God has put a call on my life. And along with that realization, I realize that through that call that God put on my life, I also have a target. A target. And there's an enemy that his mission in life is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to do that in whatever area he can. He wants to, like I said this morning, faith or doubt. So by faith, I can either stand in this pulpit and declare to the best of my ability what I feel like God has given me to speak. Or I can say, I don't think I can do that. Doubt the power of God and walk out feeling more devastated than ever before. And I make a choice not to bow to that pressure. Some of you are going to have to make that choice. Well, that's a stupid thing to say. All of you are going to have to learn how to make that choice. Because all of you are called. Whether you have answered the call or not is between you and God. And know this, there are people that are waiting for you to fulfill your ministry so they can come to Christ. Wow, that's a lot of pressure, Pastor. Join the club. Join the club. Listen, ask Bill what it's like to stand in this pulpit on Wednesday nights with the pastor sitting in the front row watching everything he does. Ask Fred what it's like to stand in this pulpit with the pastor sitting, or even worse than that, the pastor leaves and says, it's all on you, pal. Do it right. Or for Ray to address the men on Friday nights. It's not an easy thing. I do have a script that I follow, but to get the script is costly. It's costly. And so sometimes your pastor is going to be very bubbly on this platform. And sometimes your pastor is going to be down in the dumps. That's the bad thing about me. I'm either up here or I'm clear down here. There ain't a whole lot of in between. I'm either riding high or I'm in the dredge. And so when you see me up here like that, and I'm not like waving at everybody, you should just pray. Just pray. A lot of the time I'm up there, but there are those days. But aren't you glad that in spite of my, whatever you want to call it, my funk, God still moved in this place this morning. Amen. Had 100, he ain't, go ahead, give God glory, that's all right. Amen. 144 of us in this house this morning. And I can think of 15 or 20 that weren't even here. So we gotta be praying. That's what this night is about. Is about prayer and about learning how to pray and about learning how to get a hold of the horns of the altar. Because church, we need a building. And here's what I'm going to commission you to do. Pray for us, because Tuesday at 10:30. On Tuesday at 10:30, we're meeting with an architect again, and we're meeting with the steel company, the representative of the steel company that's going to build the building. And I want you to pray this prayer, that we would have the mind of Christ, the favor, and the finances to get done what God wants to do. That's the only way you need to pray. Amen? Because we believe, let me just say this, I'm settled with the idea that this is our home. Not this building, but this chunk of property. This chunk of property, God wants to use this to make His name great in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Amen? And He's called us to be a part of that. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." So what that says is that a person's total being has got to be involved in loving God. And part of loving God is communicating with God. Part of loving God is praying to God. Part of loving God is being obedient to what God wants you to do with the life that He has given you and I. Amen? So we have to understand that nothing can be held back, because, listen, God doesn't hold anything back. I know it seems kind of crazy to be singing those little songs and taking things back and jumping up and down and hopping and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know what it does? It grabs you by the chest and rips you out of your comfort zone. And it says, listen, David danced before the Lord naked. Woo! Listen, you don't got to worry about me, all right? That ain't going to happen. But church, we got to learn how to put our flesh aside and step out and worship the Lord with abandon. And pray with abandon. Pray like you've never prayed before. You know why? Because it matters like never before. I watched a video this afternoon about artificial intelligence. If that ain't the spawn of the devil, I don't know what is. And it is coming. Well, no, that's not true. It's not coming. It's already here. It's already here. And one of these days, folks, we're going to be confronted. You want to eat dinner? Take this mark. You want to buy gasoline? Take this mark. You want to live in a home? Take this mark. And as children of God, based on the Bible, we've got to say, no, thank you. I'd rather starve to death and die. Listen, if we can't take a stand in the house of the Lord amongst people that love us and care for us and are encouraging us, you will never stand for the Lord outside of these doors. And so we've got to learn how to pray. See, the heart is the center of the desires and your affections. And the soul is the person's being and their uniqueness. And the mind is the center of the person's intellect. God has given you a mind to use to rationally make decisions. God has given you a mind so that regardless of your education, you can read God's Word and God will apply His Word to your heart if you'll just read it. Well, Pastor, I can't read. Well, then download an app. Follow along in your Bible and read word for word with whatever the narrator is reading and allow God's Word to get down deep inside of your soul and your spirit and get it in your mind so that when you need something from God, you've got a resource to pull it from. Church, we got to quit playing church. All 144 that was here this morning ought to be here tonight. All of them. They ought to be here. Our expectation that God is going to keep His promises will never disappoint us. God does not ever go back on His promise. He never does. And when our trust is in God, we are absolutely assured that He will fulfill all that He has promised and we will be resurrected to eternal life and will be with Him in glory. Amen? Listen, if you're praying for Mike, for David, for Glenda's brother, if you're praying for him, let me tell you how to pray. This isn't going to be very popular. But it ain't about you. It's about him and about David. And David wants us to pray this way. God, either heal me or take me home. Either heal me or take me home, which will result in healing whichever way it goes. He don't want to stay here laying in that bed suffering. Lord, if you're not going to heal me, just take me home. And church, that's the way we have to pray. David has come to the realization he gave his life completely surrendered to Jesus. And he knows that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He knows that there's something about this transition that is taking place in his life right now. That one of these days, very soon, I'm going to leave this old world behind. And I'm going to step into the portals of glory. I'm going to step into the promised land of all promised lands. I'm going to step into the presence of our God and our Lord and our Savior. And all my problems are going to be gone. All the muck and the mire and the mess. And we're going to be left here to deal with it until the Lord knocks on our door. Which, church, it ain't that far away. It ain't that far away. He has given us His Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. The Holy Spirit is put within us to encourage us and to remind us of just how much God loves us. Some of you need to go home tonight and stand in front of the mirror and say, God loves me. I'm a child of the Most High God. There's no God above my God. He's God Almighty. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all the time. Do you believe that? Are you telling people that? That's your mandate from God. I've got this Holy Ghost down inside of me. And He empowers me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that says that we'll be endued with power. Power. I remember logging over in Eastern Oregon, and I was logging out a bly on Weyerhaeuser ground over there, and buddy, it can get cold in that country. And you can have a good charged up battery and a piece of equipment, and it's just cold and it ain't going to start. But I learned something about starting stuff when it's cold. A battery charger ain't going to help you. But if you got one of them old Lincoln arc welders, them gas-powered ones, buddy, if you hook the ground to the negative and hook the stinger to the positive, let me tell you something, son. When you hit the switch, fire in the hole, baby, because that puppy's going to light. I promise you. Sometimes we just got to go above and beyond. And when the Holy Ghost starts kicking in your life and mine, you're going to be endued with that kind of power. Don't make a difference how cold it might feel. Don't make a difference how hot you might think it is. When the Holy Ghost is involved, things are going to begin to change. Amen? I just believe that. The Holy Spirit, His job is to continue to encourage us and to remind us of how dearly God loves us. He loves us, and He'll do all that He promised to do on your behalf and on mine. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's what He said. When the enemy comes against you, they got to deal with him. They got to deal with him. In Acts chapter 6, and starting in verse 1, I just want to read this scripture to you, and maybe who knows what will happen. But in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing that that's a prerequisite? That's a condition of being used and being called out. Make sure that these men that you pick from are full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because to fulfill their job, they're going to have some power behind them. Seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Porchicus and Nicanor and Timon and Timon and these other fellas. That's what I say when I can't pronounce everybody. Just all them other, them brothers. All y'all. All y'all. Amen. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. What caused him to do great signs and wonders among the people? It's very simple. If you read God's word, he was full of the Holy Spirit and of power. And he had wisdom. Where'd the wisdom come from? Read James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Because God will give them, God will grant them the wisdom. How do you think I have the ability to preach God's word like I preach God's word? It's because God gives it to me. Because God has, listen, I don't even have a high school education. I'm not really proud of that. I thought about going back and getting it, but I was a long ways down from where I needed to be. Anyway, God could do that too, church. But God is the one that gives me wisdom. I don't know how to write sermons. In fact, I read stuff and it just like one ear, out the other. Anybody with me on that one? Gone. You know, you would hope something would hang up in there somewhere, but maybe that's the problem. Nothing to hang up on in there. I don't know. Oh, church. See, this church, the church in Acts was experiencing growing pains. Does that sound familiar? Growing pains. And the growing pains was making it difficult for the apostles to minister to everybody. And so the fact that the outsiders were being neglected created a situation that could have divided the church. But, how many of you know buts are good? Because buts make you stop and think, what's coming next? But the apostles handled the problem with what? With great wisdom. They got their great wisdom from the great wisdom giver. The teacher, the comforter, the paraclete, the counselor. Let me counsel you. Listen, when you think of counselor, I know what you're thinking. Psychiatrist. We're not talking about that. I'm not talking about a shrink. I'm talking about somebody that you can come and you can sit down with that person and you can say, listen, I'm faced with this thing, or I believe God wants me to do this, that, or the other thing. And the counselor gives you counsel. You know why we don't have a board of deacons in this church? You ever wondered? Because boards of deacons vote. Don't get quiet on me now. Boards of deacons vote. And you know who puts them in office? The church. The body of the church. They nominate, you know, Bill. And listen, I'm just using you, all right? And Bill might have an agenda completely different from my agenda. But Bill gathers around him a group of people that are sympathetic with, this is how politics works, by the way. They surround him with people that are sympathetic to his ideals. And so they vote him in. And now I have a thorn in my flesh. There's a problem. You know what we have in our church? I have an advisory council. And we get together and I present them with things that I feel like God is doing. You know how they got on my council? I pointed them. I prayed, I sought the Lord, and I appointed them. You know how you get me out of here? I die. Or some catastrophic event takes place in my life. You can't just rise up and vote me out. Because you don't like what I'm preaching, how I run the church. You can't just vote me out. You know how I got voted in here? The leadership in Houston, Texas appointed me. Because they prayed and they sought God and they said, God, who's our man for Myrtle Creek? I already knew who he was. Because God had orchestrated some things. We can argue about this later if you want. But God orchestrated some things that got me out of where I was and brought me here. Let me change the way I said that. God didn't orchestrate some things, but he allowed some things. And because of those things, here I am. And I believe with all of my heart that God has a purpose and a plan, and everything works for the glory of God. And counsel is what we need. I don't need a board of deacons to say, listen, preacher, this is what you're going to do. I want a group of men around me that says, Pastor, we're praying, and this is what we believe we heard from God. Does that line up? That lines up exactly with what I hear from God. And so that's what I'm talking about. They handled the problem with great wisdom, and they did not give Satan any foothold in the fellowship. Listen, the quickest way to get me on the wrong side of you is to start doing this, talking about one another. Listen, we're going to put a stop to it. The disciples were effective. After they met in the upper room, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, after those cloven tongues of fire came and began to sit on them, and they were endued with power, and Peter got up, and he went outside to begin to preach, and he preached under the unction and the authority of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people got saved. And they began to progress the church. And the Bible says that the church was added to. Go home and read it. The Bible says that the church was added to. Daily. And then when you get up here to church, to chapter 6, when you begin to read what I just read, you'll find out that the church, something happened in the dynamic of the church. And the church went from a from an addition standpoint to multiplication. How many of you know you get a lot farther, a lot faster multiplying than you do adding? And the Bible says that the church began to multiply. And that's what I believe we're about to see in this church. We're seeing it added to. But here's the thing. When the church faces serious problems, it presents the leaders and the members with a number of opportunities. For one thing, problems give us the opportunity to examine our ministry. Problems give us the opportunity to examine our ministry and to discover what changes need to be made. Can I tell you something? In our Friday night men's thing, and I know we don't talk much about what we do on Friday nights because it's for men only. But let me tell you what we're learning. Change always starts at the top. Change always starts at the top. I can't live anyhow I want to and expect you to live a glorious life. People have got to begin to look at your life and my life and begin to say, you know, there's some change in that person. There's change. And change is a great teacher. Change gives us opportunity to take a look at my ministry. How am I doing? Listen, if your ministry is not producing fruit, you ain't got a ministry. If you're the leader of a ministry and you're going like this, and you turn around, and nobody's doing anything, they're just walking around behind you, you don't have a ministry, you're just leading a parade. God has called us, church, to produce fruit. And the way we start to produce fruit is on our face at this altar, crying out to God. Saying, God, I might not have much to offer, but what I do have to offer, I offer it to you. Lord, would you take my one talent and multiply it so that I can be effective for your kingdom? I think that's the message for tonight, church, that we have to understand. That in times of success, it's easy to maintain the status quo. But can I just tell you something? Maintaining the status quo is dangerous. Maintaining this, let me just tell you what an old boy named Henry Ward Beecher called success. He said success was a last year's nest from which the birds have flown. Success is the last year's nest from which the birds have flown. Looks like a nest. Shaped like a nest. It's got all the feathers in it like a nest would have. It, you know, it's up in a tree somewhere like a nest ought to be, but there ain't no birds in it. So it might be a nest, but it's not doing anything. It's not doing its job. It's not fulfilling what it was created to do because the birds have done flew off. Any ministry or organization that thinks its success will go on automatically is heading for failure. We have to regularly examine our lives and our ministries lest we start taking things for granted, church. I don't ever take this church for granted. I don't ever take for granted that you're going to come. I'm amazed beyond belief that you keep coming back. That's the amazing thing. You've dealt with me for a while, and one Sunday you just showed up. And the crazy thing about that is you haven't quit coming. You come all the time. Almost every time the doors are open, bam, there's Matt. You just keep coming back. Some of you have been coming back forever. That freaks me out. Church, together, Lewis, together, we're going to turn Myrtle Creek, Oregon upside down. We're going to turn it inside out. People are going to walk down the street. People are going to drive down the street. They're going to see Lewis. And Lewis is going to be smiling. They're going to be like, what in the world is with him? He's got Jesus. And it's just rode all over. Bill, people are going to come around you and they're going to be like, what happened to the Bill I used to know? Oh, let me tell you about that Bill. He's gone. I've been born again. Them old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your attitude, your actions out there on that highway, driving up and down the I-5 corridor, people begin to see, and you're just smiling and waving at everybody in the drive. What in the world is wrong with that guy in number 4? Yeah, we do that. Just in case of... That's okay. It's a truck driver thing. Yeah. So you're not going to get no help from me on that. That Tommy, he's a carpenter, he's a construction guy, he's a house builder, he's a house flipper. Everybody wants to buy Tommy's stuff. You know, in a market that's hard to sell in right now, Tommy, did you sell a house before I get too carried away? Pending.
Yeah,
it's sold. It's sold. Somebody come in the door, bam, it's sold. In a market that's not really moving, interest rates aren't the greatest right now. Is that right? I mean, I'm not a banker. Do you know why people want to buy his stuff? Because there's quality craftsmanship in the stuff that he's building. If you don't believe it, come to my house. I'll show you a whole bunch of it. You know why his craftsmanship is quality? Because his brother is the greatest carpenter ever known to man. He's a guy you maybe have heard of him. His name's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a carpenter. And Tommy's learning. And Tommy's doing all that Tommy can do for the glory of God. And that's why you don't ever have problems selling a house. Because it's the favor of God. I got to quit preaching before I just can't talk anymore. Change has to start at the top. Change in your life and my life isn't going to start until we're on our knees giving it to God and saying, God, have your way in my life. Change those things in my life that need to be changed. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. Listen. David is the one that wrote that psalm. David was a child of God. He knew God. David was the king. And yet, his heart was created in me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God. See, David knew something about the presence of God. David had spent so many nights out on the hillsides outside of Jerusalem, tending to sheep, protecting the sheep, shepherding the sheep. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore a right spirit within me. Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. Holy Spirit from me. I want to invite you to just come. I've already preached too long tonight. But I want you to come. You can come to these altars. Spend some time here. You can pray right there.